The Home Builders Association of West Florida invites you to the Parade of Homes, May 6th through 14th. Enjoy free tours of dozens of homes across Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. And see the latest trends in home design, finishes, and appliances. Visit the American Dream Home at the gated community of Iron Rock in Cantonment, built by Signature Homes, LLC. For home locations and details, visit paradeofhomespensacola.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Done a lot of lease agreements and a lot of contracts, and I've never seen one that had a stipulation like this in it. It's, to me, it is definitely not within the legal bounds of something this board could actually ever do, and that's obligate this district and future boards to this type of indebtedness. And I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to have been saddled with that.
So Bill Slayton talking on Friday at the Warrington Middle School meeting, special emergency meeting by the school board, where they decided to not decide anything. It's not fair. They spent 2.5 hours on what should have been a 15-minute meeting and decided to push it to Monday because of a single major sticking point, which he's talking about here in very stern tones, the lease agreement. The main objection to that lease agreement is the request by Charter Schools USA that if they invest in buildings on the campus, that the school board then has to pay them back for those buildings or buy them from them if something ever happens down the road where the Charter Schools USA goes away or they fail their mission or they get the school basically withdrawn back from the school district. They can't just take back the buildings and also get the improvements that were built upon them.
I don't mind working with them long range, but that's long range. To start talking about putting up additional structures in year 2 and 3, they haven't even been put on the chopping block for the state. We're not going to close them. We've been told that. Very pointedly, this is not something we're going to be allowed to do. The state of Florida would have to do that, and they seem to be very inclined to give them every opportunity in the world. They need to slow down. They need to back off a little bit and say, let's get with this started because students are at risk.
So he's saying, look, they haven't done anything yet and are already talking about putting us on the hook for buildings that they haven't even planned yet, that they don't even know whether they're going to need or when they're going to need them. And, you know, hey, well, just back it on down now a little bit. Simmer down. Pull it back on into second gear now. That's what he's saying. And there's some fairness to that, right? As Ellen Odom, the attorney for the school board, explained many times in this meeting on Friday, the school board cannot legally enter into an agreement with Charter Schools USA that puts a future board on the hook for an economic decision today and that obligates us potentially to spending money, millions of dollars, possibly tens of millions of dollars, down the road where there's no identified funding source for that, which is what they're requesting us to do. So it's an impasse. And as Superintendent Smith said via remote operation, look, there's a lot to be negotiated here.
I think there's a lot of negotiation left on that lease agreement that I would love for that to happen by Monday, but I don't know the probability of that happening by Monday. So I throw that out for consideration.
Yes, that's not encouraging. And again, they punted until today. They're going to have another meeting at noon today. The deadline is 11:59. I thought it was hilarious. I have boys, okay? And, boys come in different varieties, just like adults. And one of the varieties is when they get an assignment, they do it right away and get it done in advance. That's mom's approach, okay? That's my wife's approach, is get it done in advance, no problem. So you don't run into a last-minute hiccup and can't get it done on time. The other approach is, let's just say, dad's approach, which is, okay, this project's going to take me 8 hours. I will start when it is 8 hours and 5 minutes to the deadline. That's how not saying it's always that way. I'm just saying it sometimes is that way. Well, the school board has kind of taken that approach. Like Monday. Well, what time on Monday? Do you mean like dawn on Monday? Do you mean like close of business 5 o'clock on Monday? What time do you mean? Is it midnight?
I did confirm with Senior Chancellor Adam Miller that, we were given a deadline of May 1st. What does that mean? Is that the crack of dawn on May 1st, or is it the close of business on May 1st? What does that mean? And he said no. He anticipates that if we need to meet at 11:30 on Monday evening to get this done, that will satisfy what DOE is looking for.
So we got until 11:59. It's just amazing. It's unbelievable. Anyway, so they did punt until today, but that's not the end of it, because post-punt, there was a comment. And I got to show you this comment because it'll floor you just a little bit. When we come back from Traffic on the Fives with Jenna.
Good morning. You're following Traffic on the Fives is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knocks them out. I-10 and I-110 in both directions are still looking great on your commute this morning. 29 southbound is showing delays in the area of Kingsfield Road. It looks like it's backed up for about a half a mile or so and then stop and go as you approach that area. Front gate of NES Pensacola is now not reporting any delays. But if you have a traffic tip, call 850-2626-111. I'm Jenna Barr for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jenna. So back to the school board meeting. By the way, one person here says, charter schools USA probably wouldn't be asking for this unless they'd been burned in the past. That's exactly what Ellen Odom said, the school attorney. She said they have had problems in the past, and that's what they're trying to defend themselves against, not fully trusting us or any other, new county board that they might want to work with. Somebody else says, hey, why don't they just put money into an escrow that becomes due if the school board decides to take back over, like a partial fund? It might be a possibility. I don't know if they've considered that. They're also wanting things like they want to share the LOST money, the half-cent money, which actually makes sense. And, other charter schools would be eligible for that. There was some minor issues like the school zone. That's all kind of been solved. The real sticking point is the issue of this lease term. The dollar a year, the school board is going to pay for repairing the roof and some other maintenance things. But then it's a question of if they build on that site, who gets the money sunk into the building later? And also remember, if money from the LOST is going to go into that, then that's public money that has gone into that too. And should they? So these are not inconsequential negotiations. But I did want to give you this one last thought. Right at the end, if I remember correctly, this was after the vote had been taken. And to his credit, Tanner Stewart comes up and he's like, so can you just explain what y'all just did? Which I like, because after 2.5 hours, it was kind of confusing. And so Alan Odom gives a good explanation of what they were doing. And then Paul Fetsko said this.
Our focus at this point is having a legal and a reasonable contract that will ensure students in the Warrington Middle School attendance zone will have a good education.
Okay.
Okay, and that's the bottom line. If it's not going to be better for students, for those students in particular, who seem to really be the most at risk, then this should not go forward.
Okay, good. So far, so good. And?
Now, the state has lost confidence in us.
True.
To do that. And that's why 8 years ago, they took over. And with that, I'm beating a dead horse, and I really don't want to do this.
I don't want to do this. That's I don't know if I should say this or not. Don't say it. I don't know if this is a good thing for me to say. Don't say it. you've already got the votes in. You're going to be negotiating over the weekend. You figure the attorney or the superintendent or both are going to be negotiating over the weekend. DOE is watching. They are already angry at you. Don't say it. No, can't help himself.
My analogy is this. We own the car. We've been put in the back seat, and the DOE and state board have been driving. They hit a tree.
Oh, no.
But it's our fault. Okay? And that's where we are with this.
Oh, no. We were doing so good. You ever, you know, there's this old advice in sales. It's like, when you get to yes, shut up. And this is like, I just got something that's itching inside of me to get out. I got to blame the Department of Education here. So it's our car, and they made us get in the back seat. Now they're driving and they hit a tree, but it's our fault. Oh. So when they made you get in the back seat, it was when you had already run the car off the road, through a building, into a ditch, sir. Now, I know not you, like past school boards, but it wasn't exactly a brand spanking new car running great when they took over. You make it seem like they hit the tree. Well, you hit some trees before, and now the alignment's messed up and the steering's messed up, and so they're still hitting trees. I mean, you know, it's just, it's all their fault. It's all their fault. But we take responsibility.
The thing about it, though, is I want to say, and I want everybody to understand, we take responsibility for our kids. And if we didn't care about the students, we wouldn't be here arguing, fighting, fussing, trying to do whatever we can. If the car's wrecked, it's still our car. And we're going to fix it, and we're going to make it better, and we're going to go forward.
You ever get yourself attached to an analogy you just can't get yourself away from in a conversation?
So whatever we need to do to make sure that the Warrington students have something better and have a better chance at success, that's where we're going. And we'll assume the responsibility, even those who are at the wheel won't assume any responsibility.
Just remember how I told you, tough talk at home, weak talk in front of the Department of Education, this kind of inconsistency with the tone.
It is our school. They are our students, and we assume all responsibility for moving them forward and doing what they need to have.
But remember, they're driving.
And if we could share that responsibility with Charter Schools USA, Renaissance Foundation, so be it. Even better. We've not denied help from anybody who could provide help in the past. We won't do it in the future.
Well, let's leave it on that note and be optimistic. So today at noon, over the course of what I expect will not be a brief meeting, we will find out whether we got an answer. Maybe by 11:59 tonight, we have an agreement in principle with Charter Schools USA. Maybe we don't. I am honestly coin flip at this point. I do not know. If they close the school, you're going to take the 500 students that are there and you're going to split them up at Bailey and Workman. Can't go to Bellevue because Bellevue is already a D school.
I'm telling you, though, having kids in a school where this has happened,
yeah.
Okay, it is detrimental for the mental health,
absolutely,
the education for the children, the mental health for the teachers. It, the entire school system in general is messed up in America. I mean, the teachers are outnumbered. They're overworked. And I have sat with our teachers who I have known since 2016, and they have in 2022 and 2023 school year, they are fed up.
Understood. Agreed. And it wasn't good before.
Right.
And then COVID.
Right.
Right.
And now, but this.
And behavioral issues and home issues and competing with social media and phones and yeah, all of it.
Right. And I see people's concerns in the text line, like, you know, how do we know that, you know, Charter Schools USA, their track record or whatever. I agree with that too, right? Do a lot of research. Andrew does his research, right? So like, do your research then and then make good decisions so these kids don't fall to the wayside. And then we have perpetuated crime.
Absolutely.
And a myriad of other issues.
That's right. And as the school board had said in their meeting, you know, we're not sure it could be done any worse, but it will be if the kids have to leave that school and go to elsewhere, it's going to be bad for everybody. It's going to be bad for the schools they go to. It's going to be bad for those kids, for those parents. There's no great answer here. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson. One amazing example of strength is Esther. She famously proclaimed, "If I perish, I perish," as she prepared to go before the king on behalf of her persecuted people. She had such conviction that she was willing to lay down her own life for the sake of others. Her passion and purpose were deeply rooted in God's plan. Being strong in the Lord means finding His purpose for your life and pursuing it no matter the cost. Knowing God's plan for you doesn't have to be mystical. Actually, it should be biblical. Find your purpose in tenaciously telling others of God's love for them through the message of Christ's death and resurrection, which atones for our sins. Christian person, give your life to the faithful proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, PreventChildAbuseFL.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3, 95.3, and on the AM dial at 1620.
Deterrence is the art of producing in the mind of the enemy the fear to attack.
Good morning, 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jenna is in for Candy today. Candy will be back tomorrow with traffic on the fives.
Got a tip in our text line at 437-1620 of an accident at Garden and A Street heading westbound, blocking a lane in the area. Waiting on FHP for more information. Authorities are on the scenes at the moment, but taking a look at my cams here, it looks like it's backed up in both directions on Garden Street as well as A Street heading southbound. So if you do have a traffic tip, give me a call, 850-2626-111. I'm Jenna Barr for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Witnesses are expected to testify starting today in the civil trial in New York City where Donald Trump is being accused of rape. Writer E. Jean Carroll gave dramatic testimony last week describing her allegations from the mid-90s. Two friends of Carroll's are expected to take the stand, who Carroll says she told about the alleged rape after it happened. A large forest fire burning for more than a week in North Carolina is now thought to have been started by a person. The Great Lakes fire has burned more than 32,000 acres. J.P. Morgan and Chase now buying most assets of First Republic Bank after the nation's second largest bank failure ever. NBC News business and data reporter Brian Chang says it's good news for consumers.
Essentially, what happened is that over the weekend, they were able to find a resolution so that this bank could survive and make it to market open today on this Monday.
And that deal was announced early today. The FDIC took control of First Republic, immediately worked the sale with Chase. The failure expected to cost the FDIC about $13 billion.
All right. Thanks so much, Dave. 728. Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a home improvement project, you need hardware, go to Pensacola Hardware. A great place to buy, you know, all your basic tools, obviously, but also it's a great place to get safety gear or something unusual that you might wonder whether they have it. If they don't have it, you don't need it. And if you do need it, they will have it. I can tell you this is, in logic, we call it a tautology. The idea is that they have been around for so long that they know. They know this is the stuff that people are going to need. And they probably have it because if you go in the back room, okay, they have everything. I mean, they have stuff going back 100 years. Like, it's amazing. The back room is unbelievable. But also, they have a front area that's like housewares, that is gift stuff. Like, if you haven't been there, I don't know how else to tell you. Just go as like a date. go shopping. Because it is a crazy, amazing place when you go to Pensacola Hardware. The oldest business in the entire state of Florida since 1851. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. 729 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, man, I love this. This is interesting. There's, you know how we have misinformation, disinformation online and elsewhere, and people fall prey to these schemes and because they don't know any better and they don't know what the truth is. There's basically a journal, a paper that's come out in the Journal of Science Advances that shows that if you roll out, and Google is planning to do this, okay, is rolling out educational videos to teach people what misinformation looks like and how the claims function. Not like this specific case, but here in general is how you get misled. Like, they're teaching logical fallacies to people with videos. People learn how to be more defensive against misinformation. They're rolling this out in Eastern Europe specifically, where all of the propaganda out of Russia has been coming from. They're teaching people logic. Who knew? If you teach people logic, they'll be better in a position to defend themselves against lies. Huh.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. First Republic Bank is seized and sold to J.P. Morgan Chase. Fox's Jenny Casola.
Chase and PNC Financial were both interested in First Republic. It will assume all of the bank's deposits, those insured under $250,000, and those over that amount uninsured. Chase is also buying most of the bank's assets.
First Republic customers started pulling money out after the failure of two other mid-sized banks. An Islamic State terrorist leader is reported killed in Syria.
The Turkish president says his intelligence agency had been tracking the leader of the Syrian branch of ISIS for some time. Abu Hussein al-Qureshi finally taken out in an airstrike conducted on Saturday.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. A state of emergency is declared after a tornado strike in Virginia Beach. The city manager there says 50 to 100 homes have suffered tornado damage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, we've got sunshine, 65 degrees, absolutely gorgeous Monday morning here in Pensacola. Congressman Matt Gaetz says he wants the Navy Secretary to commit to working to restore public access to the Naval Aviation Museum. Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro says he has been working with both Gaetz and local politicians.
We've come up with some near-term solutions, but we're also focused on finding the long-term solutions that actually bring it back to maximum throughput for that museum for all the reasons that you just stated, because it is an extraordinary museum.
And Del Toro says the Navy is focused and working to make the museum as accessible as possible. Those comments made during last Friday's House Armed Services Committee budget hearing. And right now, there's no word on exactly what the Navy's permanent solutions could be, although there have been several near-term solutions worked recently, public access weekends, and another scheduled this coming Thursday through Sunday. The Escambia County School Board meeting again today as they continue trying to work on that deal with Charter Schools USA to take over Warrington Middle School. The deadline to have an agreement by the end of the day today. If a deal isn't reached by then, it could mean the school closes. The district and Charter Schools USA down to one main sticking point. Charter Schools USA wants the district to pay for improvements to the school if the district takes it back over, but the board says they cannot ask a future board to take on an unknown expense with no funding source. School board meeting at noon to continue work on that deal. The third time was the charm for SpaceX. They launched a Falcon Heavy rocket on Sunday from the Kennedy Space Center. It was carrying a trio of communication satellites.
Engines full power and liftoff of Viasat 3. Go Viasat, go Falcon Heavy.
The Falcon Heavy, of course, made its debut back in 2018 when it famously launched a Tesla Roadster into orbit. Now, this is only the Falcon Heavy's second flight this year. Two previous attempts at liftoff were scrubbed in recent days, once for the weather, once for an unknown issue SpaceX hasn't explained as of yet. Search is underway in the Gulf for a missing boater. The Coast Guard says 59-year-old Kurt Gunther may have gone missing somewhere between Destin and Panama City. He was on a 34-foot white single-mast boat that left Destin on Sunday. The Coast Guard says he was heading towards Panama City, and the last contact was made about 15 nautical miles from Destin on Saturday. Investigators still looking into an incident that left several cars with bullet holes on Saturday. This happened at the Super 8 on Mobile Highway near Fairfield Drive Saturday morning. Deputies say several cars were hit by gunshots. However, no injuries were reported. Shell casings were also reportedly found at that scene. The sheriff's office asking anybody with information to contact them. It is 7:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's go ahead and get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jenna.
Good morning. We've got an update on our traffic line about that accident at Garden and A Street. Looks like eastbound on Garden is blocking A Street. You can get to Garden from A Street, but again, eastbound Garden is blocked. I-10 and I-110 are both looking great in all directions. And 29 southbound in the area of Kingsfield Road, still some minor delays in that area. Front gate of NES Pensacola is not reporting any delays. Have that traffic tip, call 850-2626-111. I'm Jenna Barr for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's going to be a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine. Temperatures warming near 81 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58. Beautiful weather will continue into your Tuesday with a high near 83. Plenty of sunshine. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Another sunny day in store for Wednesday with a high near 83. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got sunshine. 67 degrees this morning in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, and 65 in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Futures are a little changed as investors gear up for another big week of corporate earnings and economic reports. Among the companies slated to report this week, Ford, AB InBev, and Apple. The economic event of the week will be the Federal Open Market Committee's monetary policy decision on Wednesday afternoon. Futures markets are overwhelmingly pricing in an increase of a quarter percentage point. Astellas Pharma has agreed to acquire Iveric Bio Incorporated for about $5.9 billion to strengthen its capabilities in the ophthalmology field. The Japanese drug maker says New Jersey-based Iveric Bio has promising programs and capabilities in the field of ophthalmology, and the boards of both companies have unanimously approved the transaction. Iveric's shares are up 18% in pre-market trading on the news. Five California ports, including the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, have launched a joint cloud-based data system to help improve the movement of goods. That's Your Money Now.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time. And it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled?
Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on the farm are kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Yes, sir. Once a month now, we are checking in with our good friend and farmer in Jay, Florida, Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great. Hey, I have at least one thing I wanted to follow up with you on, because you and I had talked previously about this right to repair concept, the ability of farmers to work on their own equipment instead of having to wait for somebody from, you know, Equipment Central to come down and fix it for them, and the time that it takes to wait and all of that. And apparently Colorado has just become the first state in the nation to pass a right to repair law, which sort of seems to be in line with what you and that organization you were working in D.C. Wanted to accomplish. Is this good news? Is this a step? What's your take?
It's a step. I think that the Right to Repair Act is it's very complicated. It's not something that's easy. You know, the companies that make this equipment, they have all their proprietary stuff in there. And then, of course, farmers being who they are, they want to always be able to repair their own stuff to save time, to save money, all those issues. I think it's a complicated thing. I think that the Right to Repair bill is a good place to start. It's a good foundation to build on. I think there's going to be a lot of, all right, let's put this out there for a year. Let's look at it. Let's revisit. Is this working for both sides, for the farmers and for the companies that are building the equipment? You know, I think it's something that's just going to kind of be a work in progress. I think it's good to have everybody at the table talking this stuff over, working these issues out, and I think all in all, it's going to be a very positive thing for agriculture.
It will seem like a good step, and as you say, I mean, you know, you try to fix these things, you see how it works, you tinker, you see how it works. I mean, you know, that's true in the machinery and in the farming and in the legislation too, so let's hope that it works out for the better. What are y'all working on these days? You getting ready to plant peanuts today or tomorrow or this week at all?
You know, last time we spoke, I was hoping that we would already have several hundred acres planted by now of peanuts and cotton, but I know most people might not feel this way, but it's actually been a lot cooler than it typically is. The conditions just haven't been right. The soil temperature for peanuts, it needs to be 65 degrees or higher, 4 inches deep, for at least 3 days in a row at 8 o'clock in the morning. I know that's a lot of information, but for ideal planting conditions, that's what it needs to be. And we've just, you know, we'll get it for a day and not have it for two, or it'd come a rain or whatever. So now by the calendar, we're going to have to go ahead and start regardless of what it is, because, you know, when we plant these peanuts, we know pretty much how long it takes to grow them, between 135 and 150 days. After planting is when we'll dig them. So we have to look at what time that's going to put us in the fall digging and still have time to harvest our cotton and soybeans as well. So we're kind of getting on the calendar schedule now. Now we're starting to feel that pressure. Hey, we've got to get it no matter what the conditions are. So this week there will be a whole lot of peanuts and probably cotton put in the ground, you know, planted for the year.
So, okay, I'm going to ask you my dumb, you know, city boy questions.
That's what I want.
Yeah, when you plant peanuts, I assume by machine, not by hand, but that you tell me. And then what exactly do you plant? Because, you know, there's that peanut in the shell. Do you plant just the seed portion? Like, what exactly do you plant?
Exactly. So in the fall, the best peanuts in the area, will get saved. You know, they're graded. They know what kind of conditions they've been through. They treat them just a little bit gentler than they do the peanuts that are going for food to preserve the germination, to preserve the integrity of the seed. So we'll keep those throughout the winter. In the springtime, they'll shell those peanuts. They'll put a seed treatment on the outside of the peanuts. So now the peanuts are out of the shell. The shell's been removed. The husks are still on there. They'll put some treatment on there to help with seedling diseases and things like that.
The husk is on, but the casing has been removed. That's hard to do.
Correct. Yeah, it is hard to do.
Okay, all right.
But it works out, and then, you know, you just take good care of those peanuts. They're very expensive. This is one of those things where technology has helped us, or, you know, people with good ideas have helped us move forward. You know, used to, peanut seed was in 50-pound bags. Well, in a day's time, you can easily plant 4 or 5 tons worth of peanut seed. So that's a whole lot of lifting 50-pound bags at the time and pouring it into the planter. Now we have what are called seed tenders that are on trailers that we pull along behind our trucks. And those trailers have big hoppers on them that can hold 6 tons or so of peanut seed. And it has a little conveyor coming out of the bottom with a spout on the end of it that dumps over into your peanut planter. And it has a remote control and everything on it. So now, you know, used to you'd have to have a couple of people out there helping you plant peanuts just strictly to help you load up with seed when you get to the end. Now it's you just wheel up there, put the seed tender over it, hit a remote control, and load your planters up, and you're off again. It's turned it, you know, from about a 3-man job into a 1-man job.
And is that all, like, I mean, you've got a planter that's doing this based on GPS and running the rows just like everything else?
That's correct. So our planters are extremely high precision in everything that we do now. You know, used to you would, another interesting fact is, you know, used to you might just say, I'm going to plant 150 pounds of seed per acre. Well, the seed sizes are different for the different varieties. So if you plant 150 pounds of one seed or one variety and you change varieties and you're still trying to plant 150 pounds of the other seed, you might be planting a whole lot more or a whole lot fewer seed per acre. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because the seed size.
Right.
Because
weight is not the same as number of seeds. Right. Okay.
Right. So what you really want is seed per foot. So we're planting twin rows, which means instead of just being one single row, like on corn or cotton or something like that, we have what are called twin row planters that plant two rows about 8 inches apart. And then those rows are set 36 inches apart. But the two rows next together, you'll have a total of about 3 seed in each one of those little rows to make one row that has 6 seed per foot. So that equals out in math terms to about, we plant about 87,000 seed per acre. I know it's complicated.
No, that's good. It's fast. I'm trying to picture the whole thing. And actually, Ryan, hang on for just a second. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins, our owner at Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Hang on for just a second. Let's get Jenna in here with Traffic on the Fives.
All right.
Back to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms in Jay, Florida. Okay, so what I'm stuck on is the double row planting concept, because to me, you know, like you plant cotton in a single row, you plant corn in a single row, you're planting a double row slightly separated from like a double seam on a dress or something, but it's then got 36 inches from that to the next row. I'm assuming a lot of times you do this stuff because like the design of the harvester or to maximize yield and some balance of all that together. What's the reason for that way of doing things?
The whole maximizing yield drives everything.
Okay.
So, maximizing yield, being able to, instead of planting 6 seed per foot, you know, that'd be 1 every 2 inches, right, in one row.
Yep.
You're able to spread it out over a little bit wider surface area. So the roots have a little bit more space to work in. The plants aren't so confined there. It helps cover the ground a lot faster in those twin rows, which means less weed pressure, less losing moisture to the environment. I mean, there are all kind of reasons that the twin row and the peanut just... And when I started farming, there were no twin row peanuts. When I started farming, it was all single row. This is something that's come along just since I've been farming, and it's really, really made a difference in yield and the way we're able to care for our crops.
Interesting. So that's all in the category of like how things change and improve. And like you said, I wouldn't have thought of any of that stuff in terms of the coverage or the retaining of moisture or all things that matter once you explain them. But things I wouldn't have, as I said, I didn't think of those as the explanation. We always like to end, Ryan, with a farm fact. You got a farm fact for us this week?
I do. Since we're talking about peanuts and peanut butter are naturally cholesterol free. And of course, for the GMO people out there, they're non-GMO as well. So they're a heart-healthy snack, a heart-healthy food. Eat them up. Y'all eat more peanuts, please. My family's depending on it.
I love it.
I'm doing my part every day, brother. Every day I grab my dry-roasted peanuts. I eat a couple. I think I'm helping Ryan. I'm doing my part. Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farm.
One other thing.
Yeah, go on.
I was going to get a J traffic report. Everything's flowing smoothly.
That was good.
Well, everything's flowing smoothly unless you got a spreader or a picker or.
That's right. Unless you get behind me, and it's flowing smoothly for me, but it might not be for you.
It's flowing smoothly, but not necessarily rapidly.
Smooth like peanut butter.
There you go.
Ryan Jenkins, always a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you again next month.
Y'all have a great week.
We will. Thanks, brother. 750 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And look, if you got any kind of a plumbing issue, leak, drip, weird sound on the wall when you flush the toilet, or a pressure issue, or a temperature issue, these are all things that Barbary Plumbing can solve and fix with flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time that it takes. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand, nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at PlayPcola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, is every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Come out and bring a blanket or a lawn chair, just no pets or glass, and relax and enjoy the sunset with great live music. This week, Nashville recording artist Jesse Ritter takes the stage. With her heartfelt brand of country, with a breezy romantic feel and plenty of charm, this Gulf Breeze native will make you hometown proud. Be sure to come early and shop the Gulfside Market. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7.
Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade, afternoons at 11. Before Dave Ramsey on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I am so tired of dealing with incompetence. It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
Mister, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass.
Jailhouse rockaroo straight out of Memphis.
At Ron DeSantis,
I had a lot of Ron DeSantis jokes ready. But Mickey Mouse beat the hell out of me, got there first.
I don't understand the joke. It's just, you know, the crowd doesn't want to like Ron DeSantis, and the crowd wants to like Joe Biden, and so they're treating him like he's funny at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which he was not. By the way, if you watch the news, I've seen some of the coverage this morning and last night. You know, what they do is they'll show you, like, well, at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Joe Biden told a good joke after he spent 10 minutes talking about journalism around the world in a very sincere way. And then he did. He had, like, three good jokes out of, you know, 30 not good jokes.
Now, look, can't be too rough on the guy. After his reelection as governor, he was asked if he had a mandate. He said, hell no, I'm straight. I'm straight. I'll give you time to think that one through.
I don't know. The problem is not that we didn't understand the joke. Yeah. The problem is the joke wasn't good.
The speaker's trying to claim a big win this week. But the last time Republicans voted on something that hapless, it took 15 tries.
It's a speaker selection joke that he botched because he said his words wrong. This one was funny. I'll give him that. This one was funny, okay?
Look, it's great the cable news networks are here tonight. MSNBC owned by NBC Universal. Fox News owned by Dominion Voting Systems.
That's funny. See, they're so relieved. And but then he follows it up.
Last year, your favorite Fox News reporters were able to attend because they were fully vaccinated and boosted. This year, with that $787 million settlement, they're here because they couldn't say no to a free meal.
Okay. He talked about them being sued for defamation and all that. And then this one, again, this is two of the three funny jokes you're getting to hear. This is two of the three funny ones.
Look, I hope the Fox News team finds this funny. My goal is to make them laugh as hard as CNN did when they read the settlement.
Not that part.
But then again, CNN was like, wow, they actually have $787 million?
That's a CNN burn. That's a pretty good one. I like that one. 7:56 on News Radio 92.3. Most disappointing White House Correspondents' Dinner ever. Tragic. Roy Wood Jr., not funny. Not real. And I like him. He was great on The Daily Show. Not good at this event. Jenna Barr is sitting in for Candy today. Candy will be back tomorrow. Jenna's got traffic on the fives.
Still seeing those delays downtown at Garden and A Street, especially heading westbound at A Street at that light. It is still blocked in that area. If you can use Spring Street to West Main or Intendencia or head to West Cervantes to get where you need to go in that area of A Street, do so. Also, Gulf Breeze Parkway at Nantahala heading eastbound, still seeing just some minor delays. Use caution in the area due to an accident that just happened recently. If you have a traffic tip, 850-2626-111. I'm Jenna Barr for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jenna. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, COVID's changing again. Experts now say there's something new to watch out for. And apparently that's pink eye. Baylor infectious disease expert Dr. Peter Hortez says it's not unusual for that to come along with COVID or other viruses, such as the common cold. El Paso, Texas, now declaring a state of emergency to deal with an expected influx of migrants when Title 42 expires. Mayor Oscar Leeser says the city will have public shelters and public housing that'll be used to house temporary migrants. Title 42 expiring May 11th. And singer-songwriter Ed Sheeran's copyright infringement trial resuming today in Manhattan. Sheeran facing a $100 million lawsuit over allegations that his song Thinking Out Loud ripped off elements from Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. Sheeran denying the claim.
All right. Thanks so much, David. Back to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I didn't catch her name, and I looked to find out, but the woman who was kind of hosting the event as the MC, she actually had some interesting comments in the sort of the warm-up period.
This is also a challenging time for our country. People are choosing their news in part based on what they want to hear. And this makes us all vulnerable to conspiracy theories, to seeing the worst in our fellow citizens, to losing sight of our shared humanity.
Absolutely. This is why I'm always telling you, pay attention to the people who disagree with you. Listen to them. Read their stuff. Don't just isolate yourself. Don't balkanize yourself into a place where you're only hearing one source of information, because you will not even... Look, I want you to listen to me, but don't only listen to me, okay? But here's the joke she got that I thought this was a good way to introduce Joe Biden.
Despite the fact that you see us all sitting here together on this stage, the relationship between presidents and the press who cover them is never easy, ever. Every president privately and sometimes publicly bridles at his news coverage. And yet they invite us in and take our questions. Though, sir, maybe not as many as we would like.
That's the gentlest of all possible barbs. Maybe you don't take as many questions as we'd like.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The Escambia School Board continuing work today to get a deal with Charter Schools USA. Also, a sea turtle being released into the Gulf this week. Those stories and more after this update from Fox.
Their money is still in the bank. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. It just has a new name. First Republic is no more. Government regulators took over the third bank to fail in 2 months, then sold most of its assets and all the deposits to JP Morgan Chase.
First Republic, Silicon Valley, and Signature Bank all relied on uninsured deposits from wealthy clients, deposits of more than $250,000 that are not backed up by the FDIC. The Treasury Department believes the U.S. banking system remains sound and resilient, and the bank's branches will be open during normal business hours.
That's Fox's Ginny Cassola. Former President Trump is asking a judge in New York City to declare a mistrial. With a Trump lawyer in a filing this morning alleging that judge has made several errors hampering the defense against author E. Jean Carroll's lawsuit. She claims the former president raped her decades ago and then defamed her, denying the accusation. President Biden's son Hunter is due in court today.
The hearing in Batesville, Arkansas, is related to a paternity dispute that started in 2019 between Hunter Biden and London Roberts, the mother of one of his children. A DNA test confirmed that Biden is the father of Roberts' four-year-old daughter, and he agreed in 2020 to make child support payments going back to 2018. The case was reopened late last year when Biden asked the judge to reduce the payments, which gave Roberts a chance to demand his financial records.
That's Fox's Tanya J. Powers. House Republicans are watching closely as they investigate Hunter Biden's business dealings. Turkey's taken out a terror leader, killing the head of ISIS in a weekend airstrike in Syria, 6 months after the U.S. military killed the prior leader of the Islamic State group. Americans who fled the fighting in Sudan were taken to a ship, then arrived in Saudi Arabia today.
500 came out in the last few days on those buses, but we know there are as many as 15,000 of them still in the country. And so the question is, will more of them keep coming out? How many of them even want to come out?
That's Fox's Benjamin Hall. America's listening to Fox News.
There are more identity threats than you realize. Even if you monitor your credit, only a little personal info needs to leak out, like your social security number or password,
for you to become a victim.
LifeLock alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions, but everyone can save up to 25% off their first year with promo code NEWS. Go to LifeLock.com.
Finding great people to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Their powerful matching technology delivers so many qualified candidates, it's like finding a needle in a needle stack. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. For less hay and more needles, head to ZipRecruiter.
And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
They don't have many leads in Texas searching for a Mexican national who was in the U.S. illegally, accused of killing 5 of his neighbors Friday night in Cleveland, Texas.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott, law enforcement agencies, and the FBI are offering a reward to incentivize the public to help in the search. FBI Special Agent in Charge James Smith said.